Dear friends, Joshua in the first reading talks about choice. Choose this day whom you will serve, he told his brothers and sisters. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we have chosen to serve the living God. And the second reading also brings it into focus when Paul talks about the family, to the husbands and wives, to the fiancés, the intended, the engaged. Choose this day if your family will survive. Because sometimes the institution of marriage faces onslaught. From the outside, that can be withstood. But when it comes from the inside, that is when you have a problem. When the institution of marriage is under strain because of the behavior of husbands and wives, that is when there is a problem in the family. Trust me, dear friends, husbands and wives can withstand whatever the children throw at them, whatever the in-laws throw at them, whatever the neighbors throw at them. But it's always difficult to withstand the hostility, the negligence that comes from the two of them. Who, let us remember what Jesus told us, they are joined and are one. And he said, a kingdom that is against itself will not stand. And that is why I will plead with those who are married and those who are going into marriage, the young ones, to always keep in mind that word that St. Paul used, love. Love will conquer everything. Love will cement your family. Love will cement the relationship you have with each other. And that is why there is no domination in marriage. Yes, the language he used, wives be subject to your husbands. People like to focus on that. Why do we want to focus on that? Supposing subjection does not mean domination. Supposing subjection means being attentive to every need of your husband, which is also the same thing as love. Because when you love someone, you are attentive to the one you love. I have seen people who are in love so distracted when you are talking to them just because the loved one is in the vicinity, just because the loved one is in the environment. Without a statement, without any contact, you have lost them. They are totally subjected to the one they love. Man, woman, husband, wife, they are subjected to the ones they love. And that is what Paul is telling us. And that is why he went to the extreme, to give us the example of how Jesus loved his church, willing to give his body, willing to give the last drop of his blood, and to give water when there was no more blood to give. The sacrifice that Paul tells husbands and wives to have for each other. We pray in a special way that no husband will have to give his life for his wife. We pray in a special way that no wife will have to give her life for the husband. We pray that the family will always continue to grow in love, in joy, and in happiness. We pray that families will always continue to stick together. And please, dear friends, especially the young ones, when we read about how easy it is to walk away from a marriage, let us pause and ask, can I withstand this? If it is not life-threatening, if it is not driving you crazy, there is nothing that cannot be withstood in marriage. Like Kohelet said, there is nothing new under the sun. Whatever you experience in marriage, someone else has experienced it. Whatever you experience in your relationship, someone else has experienced it and is still there. Love conquers everything. And that is a prayer for everyone who is married and going into marriage. Because you can choose to make your marriage work by being steadfast in the love you have for each other. You can also choose, like Joshua tells us in the first reading, to make your marriage break apart by making sure that at the slightest tension and difficulty, I'm out the door or you are out the door. That is what we pray that may not happen in any family that is Christian, in any family that is lovely, in any family that has chosen God as its foundation. There is also another family that Jesus instituted, the family of the church. Vatican II tells us that the church is the first family, especially for the children. The family is the first church, especially for the teaching of the children, that there is something like God, that there is something like a deity, someone who made us and brought us here to this world. And then the institution of the church that is supposed to embody all of these lovely families that are here. But let us remember, when Jesus made the statement about the institution of that church, Matthew chapter 16, he told Peter, when Peter confessed, "You are the Messiah," he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it." The gates of hell will not prevail against it. But Jesus did not say that the gates of hell will not fight against it. He only said they will not prevail. And today, dear friends, the gates of hell have come once more. And they are camped right here in the sanctuary. The gates of hell have come to this institution of the Catholic Church. And they are camped right here in the sanctuary. The new cycle is dominated by the clergy sexual abuse. And it is shaking the core of the church. It is shaking the faith of the people of God. The gates of hell have come, dear friends. The question is, will they prevail? Or will the promise our Lord Jesus Christ made prevail? So I'm going to read a letter that Bishop Meem has written to all of the parishes in our diocese. To the clergy, religious and lay faithful of the Diocese of Peterborough, the recent revelations about clergy sexual abuse, especially the publication of the Pennsylvania Grand Jury Report, are a cause of sorrow and shame in the church. People are reeling from this latest wave of news and the disclosure of grave evil and institutional cover-up in the church. It is understandable that people are angry, disillusioned, and are calling for greater accountability from church leaders. I believe that the people of God deserve nothing less. As Bishop of Peterborough, I want you to know that I am united with the faithful of our diocese and beyond who are feeling shame because of these crimes against the most vulnerable. Moreover, I share the sense of outrage that bishops entrusted with caring for the faithful have often put the church's reputation and the fear of scandal above the demands of justice and compassion for victims. The Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops issued a statement this week acknowledging that crimes like these can shake the faith and spirit of believers. These are devastating times for the church, and I join with you in praying for the healing of victims and all those impacted by both the abuse and the church's inaction. I commit also to ongoing efforts to ensure the protection of our young people. Since 1992, the church in Canada has acted to ensure that protocols are developed in each diocese so that allegations of sexual misconduct by clergy and other employees are dealt with appropriately. The protocols for the Diocese of Peterborough may be found on our diocesan website. These policies emphasize proper reporting of allegations of sexual misconduct to civil authorities, compassion and practical help for the victims, and the removal from ministry of those individuals found guilty or credibly accused. All allegations of sexual misconduct have been and will continue to be taken seriously and addressed immediately in accordance with our diocesan policy. This fall, the CCCB will issue updated and expanded guidelines to help individual dioceses in the ongoing project of reviewing and enhancing their policies concerning sexual abuse. The recent statements of Pope Francis and the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops on this issue has been posted on our website. In his letter to the people of God, Pope Francis reminds us that if one member of the body of Christ suffers, everyone suffers with it. The suffering of those who have been abused by clergy causes hurt, sorrow, and shame for all members of the church. Yet, the Holy Father also states that an awareness of past wrongs and sins is what allows us to be more open and committed along a journey of renewed conversion. May all of us in the Diocese of Peterborough take up the Holy Father's call to pray for an end to every form of abuse and renew our commitment to provide a safe and respectful environment for all, especially those who are most vulnerable. Yours in Christ, Most Reverend Daniel J. Mim, Bishop of Peterborough. Dear friends, my brother priests and those who covered up for them are the ones who have brought these gates of hell to our doorsteps once more. Will they prevail? Your response, my prayer, my response, your prayer also. It depends on each and every one of us, because Jesus warned us that this will come. Peace be with you.